Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Come on, Mahalia Buchanan, with Holy, He is indeed the Lord Most High. It takes us to the second hour of the program. Time for our health talk with Charlene Naidu. And today we're talking, let me not give it away. And of course, it is that time of the week where Charlene and I talk all things pertaining to health. And so Charlene Naidu from Wellbeings Africa is joining me once again this afternoon. Today we're talking about what is affecting children, and the most important thing I really just want to bring to your attention is high prevalence of mental health issues. Once again, mental health issues in children, a topic we don't really talk much about. And recent studies indicate that approximately 27% of adolescents in sub-Saharan Africa experience depression symptoms and 30% experience anxiety symptoms. Also, elevated depression among teens. And, you know, research from the Alan J. Fisher Center for Public Mental Health reveals that over 50% of South African adolescents aged 15 to 18 exhibit elevated levels of depression symptom. Here's another one. UNICEF South Africa, a report by UNICEF South Africa, U-Report poll, found that 60% of children and youth felt they needed mental health support over the past year. However, only 63% of those who needed support actively sought it, with many citing not knowing where to go as a barrier. Here's another one. Lastly, among youth, anxiety-related disorders are prevalent, with studies showing a 39.3% accurate or rather occurrence rate. Sleep disturbances about 37.3% and severe depression sitting at about 14.2% are also significant concerns. Our children, Batung, our children are going through the most, and chances are we're not even taking note most of the time. So, okay, where do we start, Charlene? Where do these figures and, you know, stats show and tell us about children and mental health?
Hey, Loko. Yeah, so I think when we look at these figures, it's quite illuminating. It's powerful information, but I mean, some of that's quite scary. It's a cold dose. It's really like a big reality check, especially the one you mentioned where some kids were saying they didn't know where to go for support. I mean, that is something that's like a scary thing to contend with. And, you know, it's not just if you're a parent. Let's emphasize, it's important to know what's going on with any children in your life.
True.
It could be your nephews, your nieces, your godchildren, even kids in your neighborhood who just may be quietly struggling and no one really knows. So I think those stats show us that anxiety and depression are becoming really common amongst young people in South Africa. I think it's one thing to look at it in abstract, but if you translate one of those statistics that you mentioned, I think it talked about 50% of kids saying they're depressed. If you translate that into realistic terms, it's like saying that in a school classroom with 30 students, 15 of them could be battling sadness or hopelessness or stress, and they just don't know where to turn to for help. So this information, you know, is telling us, look, things are real. Let's acknowledge it. Mental health isn't just a grown-up's issue. Young children are also carrying these emotional burdens.
Sure. Listen, Charlene, next time I have a chat with you and I don't even greet you, you kind of give me a heads up there.
No, it's fine.
You must say, Sissy, start here. Hello.
It's all these scary statistics.
Yeah. Listen, here's another one, Charlene. I don't know if you've seen these like jokes. It's not even memes. It's jokes going on social media. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll put like pictures to try and create a story out of the pictures. But oftentimes they say, you know, when a child, especially black children, have gone for counseling and they come back home, then, and because moms don't expect their children to be depressed because they do everything for them, then they'll sit and say, we're not supposed to shout at you here in this house because you are depressed. I'm not going to say anything. Make yourself food. Do whatever you want to do in my house because when you are depressed.
Exactly. It's such a cultural thing, I think.
Right?
Because, I mean, I could say the same thing. I mean, let's just say like any brown or black families in this country.
Uh-huh.
You know, like depression and mental health and all of that, it's such a learning curve. You know, our parents and grandparents, they didn't know about things like that, or they didn't acknowledge it, and it's such a learning process for them. So, it is. It has become something of a joke, like, okay, so you're depressed. I can't speak to you a certain way. I can't shout at you. I can't discipline you. I think it's nice to find humor in it because it's also realistic.
True. Now, tell me, Charlene, what's behind these worrying numbers? And why are so many kids stressed, you know, anxious or even depressed? Like we're saying, it's something, especially as our parents thought, should not be happening to children.
Exactly. I was reading something recently that said that this generation is the most stressed generation of all time or something like that. And, you know, it's hard to quantify or qualify or prove that, but I think it is, there's definitely some merit in it. And I think firstly, you know, we need to acknowledge life is just really hard for many young people right now. And they're growing up in a world full of uncertainty. If we look at our country just, you know, on its own, so many kids are living in communities where there's poverty, there's violence. They may have family problems at home. There's pressure to do well in school. Then when they get to school, you've got to think about things like bullying and peer pressure.
Yeah.
And it becomes so much for young minds to deal with because they're still developing.
Mm.
And I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but recently I've seen so many things where young people describe themselves as introverts.
Or
they kind of say they feel isolated, right? But it's a bit confusing because they're constantly connected online.
Mm.
So on the one hand, it seems confusing because they're so open about sharing their lives on TikTok and Instagram. But if you think about it, it's actually only on a superficial, behind a screen level. So they're not really wanting to interact in real life. And that's kind of worrisome because these are young children, preteens and teens we're talking about. And they need to learn how to build that social acumen and they need to learn how to interact in the real world for when they do become adults and they go out into careers and meeting people.
Yeah.
So they're kind of hiding behind their screens and it's leading to that introversion and that isolation as well.
Mm.
So it's just this kind of difficult mix of they're facing tough realities, they've got unmet emotional needs, there might be a lack of support.
Yeah.
Well, I think there is a lack of support because one of those statistics mentioned it. And that's what's driving this depression and sadness in young children.
Sure. Look, Charlene, as a parent, I can honestly say, and having been like a teen myself or so, you know, children really, really change with times and influences and whatnot. And as we know, some kids actually act out or they get really quiet or, like you said, moody because, hey, we know you are very vocal on the social streets. So how do we tell what's normal and what might be a mental health issue, especially as parents, because we want to look out for those things?
Yes. And it is such a real concern, Luca, because if you think of yourself as a teenager, you went through mood swings, you went through body changes, puberty, there's emotions. So some of it is so, so normal just because you're a child who's growing up.
Mm.
So it's not always easy to tell what's normal and what might be a sign of something deeper.
Yeah.
I think as a parent, the key thing that you need to look out for is change. And it's change that lasts for more than what is kind of normal for that age and milestone.
Okay.
So if your child is suddenly very withdrawn and it continues for more than a few weeks, it's going into months, they're always tired. Their mood swings are just, it's spiraling out of control. They're struggling to sleep or eat. Somewhat, you know, like a child who used to be super interested in sports and activities is now just like completely lost interest and has no energy and just very apathetic about things.
Mm.
And these changes are now lasting consistently and it's going on months and months. That is a huge red flag. And It comes from, you know, you've got to pay attention as a parent, as a caregiver, to how your child is doing at school, with friends, at home. If they're making excuses not to go to school, are they suddenly very argumentative? Or maybe they're actually quiet where they used to be quite active and loud. You know, it's almost like this change in their personality. And I think that the thing we also need to remember is, you know, many children, they don't really have the words to express what they're feeling. So as adults, as parents, caregivers, you need to look for these signs and these little flags that can go unnoticed. And I think also what you need to do is, if you're not sure, you know, you need to reach out to those teachers, to the school counselors, and say, look, I've noticed something about my child. Have you noticed it too? You have to keep those lines of communication open, because it might be just one-sided. It might just be something they're going through at home, but at school they're perfectly fine. So you've got to have, you know, that whole thing about it takes a village to raise a child.
True.
So you have to keep in contact with your village and just be there as a parent. You don't need to fix whatever problem it is, but just keep those lines of communication open.
And speaking of school, Charlene, what about, you know, stuff that happens at school, you know, social media, etc.? Because as parents, we don't always know what's happening with our kids.
Gosh, I think that's one of the most realistic things about being a parent, is that so much of what your kids go through happens outside your view.
Exactly.
You know, at school, they may be dealing with bullying and peer pressure, and they might be a teacher that they really have a tough time connecting with, and you might not even know any of this. I'm not trying to scaremonger here and make parents feel afraid, you know, but it's such a realistic part of being a parent. It's such a realistic part of being a child, you know. Your world, as soon as they go to school, your worlds get kind of separated. So this is why that connection is so important. You don't need to know every detail of your child's day. But if you create that environment where they feel safe to talk, then this information will come out just naturally. And this is why it's also important, again, going back to, you know, just keeping in touch with the teachers and saying, how are things going with my child? You know, are they socializing with other kids? Do they seem to have a good peer support group? Are they making friends easily? It's these little touches that you need to just be aware of. And I think when it comes to your kids as well, you know, you need to, you need to let them know you're just curious, because at the heart of it is that you care about their well-being. And if you just keep reminding them, look, you can come to me no matter what, and that no matter what part is the important part, because they need to be able to feel, look, there's no situation in the world that I can't go to my parent about.
Also, tell me, Charlene, how do we even start a conversation with our children about, you know, how they're feeling without making them clam up? Because let's be honest, opening up is not always so easy for them.
Gosh, that's probably the hardest part, is starting that conversation, because, yeah, you want to help, but you're also scared of saying the wrong thing, or you're pushing too hard. And many kids, you know, especially teenagers, they tend to shut down if they feel like they're being interrogated. So the key is, you start small. You start with care. You create that little moment where they feel calm and they feel safe. Maybe, you know, maybe for you and your child, it's like going for a drive together, and then they start, they enjoy it and they start talking. Maybe it's just sitting outside, you know, with no one around. And it's just about creating these little small moments. And it's one of those trite sayings about safe spaces, but it is a safe space where your child feels, okay, this is me and my mom or my dad, and this is our time together where I can share whatever I feel like. So as an example, one of my friends, she has two kids under the age of 7, a boy and a girl. And she's so intentional, so she carves out these little short snippets of time for each of them separately, because it's a boy and a girl. So she'll have little mother-daughter dates or little mother-son dates with the kids separately. And it's not even long, you know, sometimes it's just an hour of being together. But it's such a special and small way to connect one-on-one with your children. Because remember, each child has their own needs, their own feelings. So you need to play to that child's strengths and character and create that personal time which leads to the stronger bonds. It leads to the trust where your child feels they have the space to come and talk to you about anything they're going through. And, you know, I think one thing that we can't get away from is that part of this whole process is patience, because, you know, your child might just be resistant to opening up, and you can't exactly give up. You have to keep knocking and just gently knocking at their door until they feel comfortable in sharing. And you just have to go at their pace. So patience is such a big part of this process.
Listen, Charlene, I don't mean to be putting words into your mouth, but could too much screen time or social media be making our kids more anxious? And what's a healthy limit?
Gosh, I mean, it's like adults, right? Because we're constantly comparing ourselves to what we see online. So children are just the same. They're just little miniature versions of us. So they also start to internalize those feelings that they're not good enough. They do the comparison. Then, I mean, that's not even mentioning things like the physical impact that screen time, you know, has on things like their sleep schedule, concentration, their mood. So the healthy limit, honestly, it depends on your child's age. It also depends on your own parenting rules, Loko. You know, as a general guide, I know lots of parents will say, okay, 2 hours maximum of screen time a day. And that's a good starting point. But also, you know, if your child's a little older, if they're using the internet for school and assignments and those kinds of things, then it becomes a little bit more flexible. So I think you need to figure out what that limit is in terms of what your family, your family's rules and values. And maybe instead of simply saying, okay, no devices, no screen time, because this leads to a lot of conflict and temper tantrums, you know, try to set those guidelines together. Like, okay, at mealtimes, we're putting our screens down, no phones at the table. So just very small, actionable, realistic things. Also, this should go without saying, but please lead by example, because if you want your kid to put down the devices, you have to do it too.
A difficult part of it, I guess. But it's needed. We have to, because somebody once said they don't listen much to what we say, but see what we do and act in that very same fashion.
Absolutely.
Tell me now, Charlene, are there small changes that we can make at home, like, you know, routines or chores that help boost our child's mood?
Yes, and this is definitely the good news, because we want to be proactive. We're not here to just be all gloom and doom, okay? There are small everyday changes you can make at home to really, you know, boost your child's mood, boost their sense of well-being. You know, simple routines, for example, it gives kids a very nice sense of safety, of stability. And by nature, children are very dynamic. They're all over the place. There's mood swings. There's erratic behavior. That's just part and parcel of being a child. So routine is a good thing, because they value routine and repetition, because it creates that foundation of stability. So if your child is going to school and they're really struggling with bullying, for instance, or peer pressure or academically or whatever, that's a bit of an erratic external environment. So their life at home is the foundation, is the routine, is the safety and stability, which makes such a big difference in creating that balance. So things like having a regular, okay, you've got a regular time to go to bed, which you stick to, a regular wake-up time. You guys sit down for supper at least, you know, a couple of times a week. You have a little bedtime ritual where, you know, you read a story or you say a prayer or something. These are very grounding activities that can help that child feel safe and secure. Even things like giving your child little jobs around the house, you know, little chores. These, and we obviously keep this age appropriate, you know, like very simple things like feeding the dog, helping to set the table, maybe they can water the plants. But it gives kids a sense of purpose. It gives them confidence. They feel independent and like, oh, look at me, I'm all big and important, I've got a job, you know. So these basics are so important in creating that feeling of safety and stability for children. It goes such a long way in helping your child feel, you know what? I'm emotionally balanced. I'm supported. My home, my parents, this is my safe space.
I love to hear it, I must say. So if a parent or a teacher is worried, Charlene, what should they do? Who can they turn to for help or advice even?
Yeah, I think the most important thing here is we need to treat mental health challenges as we would a physical health problem, okay? So if you fall and sprain your ankle, you will go to the doctor, right? You'll go get help for it.
Yes.
So this is the same. Don't wait for your child's condition to worsen. Don't wait for your child's depression to become so embedded and so deep that you don't even recognize your child. If something feels off, whatever the changes are in your in that child's mood, in their behavior, their school performance, don't wait for it to get worse. Just reach out for help. You're not overreacting and you don't have to figure it out alone. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Okay. You start with the school, and it all depends on the situation, obviously, but generally just start with the school. Many schools, you know, they'll have, at the very least, you can speak to their teacher and figure out what's been going on, and then you can figure out the next steps together. And this is especially important if it is something related to something happening in school, like the bullying that we spoke about or whatever. There's the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, which, you know, is a helpline. And they offer advice and referrals. They are, well, there's other helplines also, but there's also options like therapy and counseling. There's things like sometimes your child may not feel super comfortable talking to you. Maybe they're scared or just intimidated or something, but they feel more comfortable speaking to an older cousin or a grandparent or just another family member. And this is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing because it means that there is someone that they do feel safe with. And they can then share what they're going through with that family member. So I think the key message is here, you're not alone. There is support out there. Taking that first step can make all the difference. And the fact that, you know, just by caring enough to ask for help, you as a parent, you're just asking for help from whoever it is, you're already showing your child that you care and you're going to get through this together.
I love to hear it. Now, tell me, Charlene, how do we then balance being caring without being overprotective so that the kids can build their own resilience? Because that's very important.
Gosh, super, super, super important because you cannot fight your child's battles for them. You can't always fix everything. You know, the way that your child is building resilience is by going through ups and downs. It's the same as adults, actually. I mean, that's the way we build resilience. Is we have our challenges, we figure out how to get through it. So this is what your child is doing. So the reality is you're not always going to be there to fix things for them as they grow up and get into careers and relationships and navigate through the world. So you've got to find that balance by showing up consistently, yes, however that works for you and your child. And here I want to stress that, you know, not every family or parent-child dynamic is going to be the same. So you need to take that into consideration. Like, your child's personality plays such a big role here, and no two kids might be the same. So if your child is more introverted by nature, she might not respond to kind of a no-holds-barred conversation, right? It's out of her comfort zone. She may need a softer approach. She might respond better to you telling her a story that sounds kind of similar to a situation she's going through, and then she can tend to share what she's going through. So you've got to figure out what's your child personality and how to come at them, how to approach them from there. So I think this also comes back to this being overprotective can sometimes stop children from learning those important skills like problem solving and managing frustration. So you've got to take that approach that also helps them to find the solution by themselves. You know, you have to kind of lead them there. And you can start by encouraging that independence in small ways, like the things we talked about, doing household chores and making small choices about how to organize their homework, maybe how they want to spend their free time, what to wear to school tomorrow, that kind of thing. So that's really, all these little things are so important in building up this balance between being caring, but not being so overprotective where your child completely clams up and is incapable of figuring anything out or even wanting to talk about it.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So we also have to definitely talk openly about emotions, about challenges. You know, let them know, look, I go through challenges at work. Let them know it's okay to struggle sometimes. Tell them about a time in an age-appropriate way. You know, tell them about a time that you had a struggle and how you overcame it. And it's all these little things that will just make resilience a very realistic thing in a child's life.
Oh, man. Charlene, I think I'm empowered as a mom myself, you know, on how to handle these things, because I think instinctively we just want to always protect them.
Yes.
And it's not always going to work.
It's not always going to work. And it is difficult because, as we said, you know, you don't always know what's going on in your child's life. And sometimes it is going to take some patience for them to open up. So,
yeah.
It is a process, I think.
It
I think
is.
It's just
a
journey.
Trust me. Charlene, how do we get hold of you at Wellbeings Africa?
Great. Yes, thank you so much for having me, Luko. And yes, you can visit wellbeingsafrica.com just for more health news, tips, and advice. We also have a whole section dedicated to family and kids' health and mental health. So there is help and info out there. So hope to see you there.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Charlene. And have a great afternoon, my lovey. Thank you so much. And God bless.
Thank you, Luko. Same to you. Take care.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit Jikelele for Christian radio that speaks to the heart. Listen online to Radio Pulpit's new gospel station in English and vernacular languages like Zulu, Setswana, and more. Visit radiopulpit.co.za or download the Radio Pulpit app and click on Radio Pulpit Jikelele to live stream wherever you are.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.